Is unnecessary.
You're unnecessary.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, seriously, lose that one. I don't like that
one. No, you said it. Don't be ashamed of it.
I didn't like the way it came out.
I was listening when it happened. It was funny. But that's because I know you both.
Okay. Well, see,
never mind.
I know you both.
Run
so
it.
It's okay. If you don't know you, and Goo, you deal with this, right?
Come on.
You go home and people are like, why does he treat you like that, right?
I'm scared of women. I get hugs on the street and I'm like, who died?
I know.
Tiny.
They're like, we're fighting for you.
Dibs, I work with a guy real quick. This is how I'm going to start. It's Tiny. I beat you to it. I love baseball. You know that. I believe you because you don't. Yeah, everything I say is a lie. I love baseball.
Are you directing this?
To the masses and you.
Okay. I mean, Bob, you said you work with somebody.
Oh, Steiny.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Because earlier on the show.
You called him a poodle.
And I gave Bob Uecker love for being the first personality as a young boy, Mel Allen, doing the This Week in Baseball.
How about
but Bob Uecker was my guy. And this guy goes, you know what? I hear you, Goo, but I feel like you're lying.
I don't believe
rest
him.
In peace to Bob Uecker.
Sure.
But the dude was a steward and the first personality that I, like, got attached to.
Yeah.
Developing my love for baseball. And the guy goes, I don't believe you.
Yeah.
And that's who I work with. That's all.
Well, and he doesn't have to believe you. And I think
there
that,
you go.
Well, I don't even know if it would be the first one. I do think that Mel Allen, the voice of This Week in Baseball.
That was a three for your Mel Allen.
Took notes. And even Johnny Bench with his Krylon commercials. But for me, the Bob Uecker came more from the light beer from Miller commercials.
That too.
And, you know, that whole thing. And he missed the tag. He missed the tag. Great seats, huh? And they pan to it, and he's in the top row. So
just a bit outside.
Yeah, exactly.
He's in the front row.
You guys ever meet him?
No.
Anybody?
No.
No, I mean, I've had him on the show. Okay. Or I think Gary Radnich had him on, and I was, you know, adjacent to the show. But, no, he is one of those people who is kind of synonymous with our era. And it's funny, because on our thread involving a 33-year-old Lucas and a 28-year-old Grandy, I was like, hey, you know, what if we got Al Michaels on today? Who broadcasted with Bob Uecker, and we could talk about the NFL as well. And it didn't take one of the whippersnappers more than 13 seconds to say, oh, that doesn't resonate with me at all. Neither
did
one.
Did that come
neither
out of their mouth? One. I'm shocked.
Out of their fingers.
Evan appreciates fingers. History.
Twitter fingers.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Twitter fingers.
That was situational. Because I backed them.
Another guy who's got no idea about the history of people in their 50s.
No, I just happen to think our audience wants to talk about the Warriors today. That's
right.
All.
I do all different days.
God bless the day. We'll learn
there. Ask me again tomorrow. And maybe we can do 2.5 hours on Bob Uecker.
Yeah,
not today.
And for you to think that I was looking for 2.5 hours is a typical typical move to try to cast me in a certain light. I'm looking at, you know, maybe you have an Al Michaels on, which, and I'll educate Grandy on exactly
Grandy,
who that is a little bit later.
No Uecker talk.
You know, it's the Uecker portion would have been maybe 3 to 7 minutes about you know, baseball and history, and that's fine. That's fine. I don't shy away from being the old guy on the program.
Two and a half hours.
Give it a rest.
Will you take this one sheepishly? I do love this from you. You do this sometimes, and I wonder if you'll accept it.
It's very funny
to me. You'll text the producers that morning. And give the biggest name in the world.
And be like, I'm laughing with you, dude.
Can we get this person on? I'm like, in 3 hours? Probably not.
Okay.
Like, can we get Al Michaels, I don't know, at 2 and it's 1:45? Probably not.
I'll take that sheepishly.
Like, it takes, you know, can we get Drake? They're playing the Raptors in an hour.
Yeah.
Probably not.
That's why I'm
it may take a minute for us to work on something like that.
In my defense, I will, I'll say one of the two things I want to say, because the other thing is really mean-spirited. But I'll just say this. I have given other names and given, you know, an idea, and here we are probably 10 to 12 weeks later, and not even a sniff or a whisper of said name, and that's fine.
That's true, too.
Right.
I'll back you on that.
You know, can we get Al Michaels? Sure, we can. I mean, we're more likely to get, you know, Brett Michaels.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
I would know that.
Exactly.
Beyonce so, at 2:30, by the way,
dude,
today.
You guys are great.
Yeah. Not confirmed, but I'm going to try. We'll reach out.
Yeah.
We'll send a text.
You know, we can all just cast our net as low as possible and, you know, come away with, oh, boy, you know, I can get you my across-the-street neighbor who happens to be close friends with somebody who knows Parag Marate.
Could you get any of these names you've talked about at Marin Catholic for the last 3 years that you know?
Sure. Okay. Any of my, Tom Avakumovic?
Get 345. Get that billionaire who the rock star energy guy.
Russell Wiener?
Yeah, the guy who
he said energy guy.
Well, there was a kid who I grew up with who...
It's a great story.
Whatever.
Give me the name.
His name is Russell Wiener.
Russell Wiener.
He was a fellow redhead, and he was kind of a crybaby. He was a little younger than me, and, you know, being young and brash and angry, I would find weaker people and try to pick on them. Russell was one of these people.
It's called
a
bully.
You get to Little League.
Right.
I was a 4'7", 85-pound bully.
Yep.
Fair enough. So I'm on the mound, and he's in the plate, and I'm throwing at him with my 47-mile-an-hour fastball. Takes me three pitches to finally hit him, and he cries on the way to first, and I'm laughing. Skip ahead 40 years, and I'm just looking at the internet, whatever. Russell Wiener of Fairfax has sold the drink, and I think it was either Rockstar.
I think it was Rockstar.
He sold the beverage Rockstar for $2.2 billion.
So he, wow.
He wins.
Man.
So instead of bullying young Russell, had I befriended this young lad,
I'd be the CFO right now,
sitting on 100 milli. So memo to all you kids out there, be nice to those weaker than you.
Is this him?
Yeah, it sure is.
Wow.
And his dad is Michael Savage, the former conservative talk show host.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey, he's a peach.
Russell's got to be, 54?
He's 54.
Yep, there you go.
And he is the creator of Rockstar.
There you have it.
Wow.
$2.2 billion, is that about right?
It actually says, his net worth now is $5.2.
Wow. There you go.
You got three beautiful kids, but
whatever.
Yeah,
whatever. I don't. You know what I don't have? You know what I don't have?
Because I would be at
5.2.
You don't have 5.22.
Thank you, Steiny. Anyway,
back to the Warriors.
You know what? I would. I just remembered this. I should just save this for tomorrow. About what's bugging me?
Oh, we do have it. 2 p.m.
I love Fitz because I can take good natured shots at him.
4:15.
Boy, is he really?
Yeah.
We try.
So clear your throat before you let this one ride. Let me clear my throat.
You got him at the right time.
We finally got him.
They got Fitz.
Hey, Fitz.
But not Beyonce.
You're one of the greatest. We know that.
Uh-oh.
But you took the easy way out.
That's a big
against the Toronto Raptors. He took the easy way out. He saw a problem. And he avoided it rather than head it off at the pass. He kept referring to the Raptors guard all game long simply as Grady.
Now, can I add something to this?
Yes.
Tim Roy did the same thing.
Well, coming down his road then too.
And announced before the game that he would be doing so. As I drove home the other night, I took note. As Tim Roy's doing the starting lineups, and he mentions he's like Grady Dick, who, going forward tonight, will be known as Grady.
What would you call him, Steiny, on the broadcast?
His last name is his last name. Yeah.
What is it?
It's Dick.
Right.
Yeah. And now, here's what I love to do.
Thank you.
I love to look around and see who the infants are.
No, but...
And Ken's an infant. Lucas, we knew that.
Yeah, we knew that.
Oh, it's so funny! Yeah. Oh, my God, it's so funny!
Pull my finger.
Oh, it's so funny!
But hold on, Steiny. In their defense, not about maturity, look at what Tim and Bob think about now, not just saying the name, but run it through what they would be saying around it. Basketball terms in action.
The dick on the right
high
side.
Speed.
Download a dick.
It's that, Will and I do gotta say.
Well, it could trip them up.
But there should never be a name off limits if that's your God-given last name.
Dick with the penetration.
Thank you. All right.
What's wrong with you people? You're children. You're infants.
Pull my finger, humor.
Thank you. Yeah.
Exactly.
And I love it.
Yeah. No, but
I'm here for it.
But Willard, I'm shocked. I get it, but...
No, I'm not saying that I'm over here doubled over in laughter because the guy's last name is Dick. I'm just saying I get how the announcers don't want...
I'm shocked that they
avoided high speed. They don't want to be rolling through that because it could trip them up. And half the audience is immature.
But I don't think it.
Just call him Grady Dick then.
Yeah.
Like, use his whole name.
You could do that.
Yeah.
You could do that.
But if I'm here to for
anyway,
ball, I'm just like, yeah, what's his last name?
Right. Exactly. I mean, and there are many other names in many other sports. And if you really want to get into the terminology of sports, most of it is just filth.
Yeah.
You know, you want to talk about, you know, gaps in football and penetration in basketball. And, you know, we can play this game in every sport all across the landscape. But if you're thinking about sports and the man's name happens to be Grady Dick, then you can say the man's name. Yeah. It's okay.
Did anybody feel like Steph was talking to them when he said Twitter fingers? Because we're on the radio. People are to Lori Matthews from Phoenix. Guru, no, we do it verbally.
Have you tweeted out any potential deals?
No.
None?
But I say to him,
have
we go over
have you been to
them.
The ESPN trade machine in the last 3 weeks?
I got other stuff to do, Willard.
You
I can't
haven't
work
been
a machine.
To the trade machine?
No, I've never been to the machine.
No, I don't believe you.
I'm just telling you what he said afterwards. Like, people are insane if they think we don't want to win. I was good. That's what I wanted to hear. And Will, they could lose 10 in a row. I feel better. And shame on me for thinking it was the verbal white flag.
First of all.
And I would tell Steph real quick, it wasn't just goo. A lot of people took what you guys were saying is that it was misconstrued, but he had to double back. Anthony Slater got to him after he said what he said to ESPN. I needed to hear that then. We trying to win. That's all. That's it.
But you thought that they had waved the white flag.
It sounded like it.
I thought that it was a yellow flag, and I still
you
think that the flag
that,
is a yellow flag, which is
caution.
Slow yeah, slow down if you think we're making a big move. And I do like what he said last night about, you know, Twitter fingers, and, you know, they're out here trying to compete, and you can say what you want about last night, and, you know, if that game goes one more minute,
oh my
they
goodness.
If they played 49 instead of 48, you probably lose.
48-30.
Dude, they held on. They did show some resiliency and some toughness. Buddy and Dennis both woke up, and you got a nice road win. I mean, that's my takeaway. Forget the fact that they were up, was it 26-5? Or
24 points in one juncture.
Yeah,
end of the first quarter. I think it
24
was like
points in one juncture.
4-12.
Steph had 12. They had 12.
Right.
That
at
is
the end of one quarter, they're by 22 points.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And I don't think they ever gave up the lead.
And
they
tied
it. Got tied.
Wow.
But,
they tied it.
You know, ultimately, you got the W, and those are games that they've blown.
Exactly.
We can think about the last 2 years, how many of those they've blown. And you know what? That goes down as a clutch game that they won.
I don't even consider that one a lead blown. Like, if you build a 13-point lead 3 minutes into the game, I'm like, well, I know they're coming back.
Okay,
you
got plenty of time.
You're up 22 in the third quarter. Let's have a talk.
And it was 10 at half, too, Will.
You're 22 in the first quarter on the road. You know Minnesota's making a move at you. I never thought that was going to be a blowout. So, no, I think that was it was an awesome performance last night. It was great that they were able to hang on, and they did get one back after losing one that they shouldn't the night before. But I'm with Dibs where it's like it not only did it never feel like a white flag. This is what frustrates me about it, and this is NBA culture. But we want the stars to be such dogs that it's as if you need. We want them to be stupid. We want them to be so narcissistic. We want them. It's no different than when LeBron would pass when there's 5 seconds left to go because it was the right shot. And even if the shot went in,
people
would be like, dummy, you're supposed to shoot. Why do the Warriors have to publicly say we're willing to do something dumb just because we want to win? They shouldn't say that, and they shouldn't do that. I don't think they ever said we're not trying to win, but what they did say is, why? Like, we're not going to do something that even we think is stupid in an effort to win. Like,
but
no.
they said it to where
Steph's
the present was not as important as the future, and I think that's what set off a lot of people.
Right,
Will. And you're right, but that's how it sounded.
I know, but I don't want to get all woo-woo, but the present is all you got.
Oh, wow.
That's all you've got. And so
those are facts.
I congratulate the Warriors right now for being like, the information's going to change every day. What's available, the asking price, our record, their record, this is all going to change every day. The deadline is still, what, three weeks from today?
Yeah, just under.
It's still 3 weeks away. So, like, I do not want them to stand up and be like, we're willing to even do something dumb. We love Steph so much. No, Don't do something stupid.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. I want to play this because I asked Guru what he thought Curry meant before the show or at the beginning of the show. I want to ask you guys the same thing. Take a listen.
All the Twitter fingers who's got deals that they need, that we need to make, can kind of just shut up a little bit and let us figure this thing out. Like, we know we can be competitive, and we showed, you know, that toughness tonight. Obviously, every team is trying to find ways to get better, and for us, we've been great for a very long time. This is just a unique year where we have to be able to stay relevant and give ourselves a chance and just have some life in a playoff series, and we have a whole lot of confidence that we can, you know, beat anybody. So, yeah, that's it.
The only thing that stuck out with me there was when he said, this is a unique year. And my way of thinking is, why is this year going to be unique as opposed to, like, next year? Like, to me, it's about navigating the next couple years with Steph and Draymond. Like, what is it? Like, it feels like he's saying, if we can get through this year, then, you know, the floodgates are going to open. Or I don't know why. It's this one year is unique. That's the only thing that I didn't get. Like,
yeah.
I think the situation's unique because he and Draymond are going to be around for a few more years and they got to navigate it. But it sounds like if we get by this year, then things are going to definitely change.
I think this year is unique for a couple reasons. One, it's the first year without Clay. And two, it's Kuminga in this chase for a contract, or what do you do with Kuminga? And then also, if you look at the roster, you can look at six players who are on the team right now who probably won't be here next year. Maybe six is too many. You've got Schroeder expiring and GP2 and Kevon all expiring, right? Slow-mo and Buddy are here, but tradable. And then you look at
Kuminga
question.
Yep.
And, you know, everyone's talking about Dealing Wiggins. So I do think that, you know, this team is unique because this group probably won't be, I know they won't all be back next year, but of the, I don't know, 15 on the roster, I don't even know if they have 15, you might be looking at half of them turnover between now and then.
I got you.
I take it to mean that they're in transition. Like, even though last year didn't work, it was still their tried and true method with their tried and true people. Steph, Dre, Clay.
Right.
And then, right, there's various Wiggins and Pools and things like that that have, but this is the year where they're like, hey, we're doing something completely different. We've got some new people who are actually starters and people moving into new roles and not playing back to backs and Kuminga's hurt and all this. Like, it feels like they are transitioning to try to make Jonathan Kuminga a bigger piece to the puzzle, or maybe a piece to bring in a different piece or whatever it is. What stuck out to me was what he said right after he asked everyone to shut up, which is, let us figure this thing out. That's the phrase that I focused on, and actually what I loved about it, because what I think the world is expecting Steph to stay is give me help. Go get me new people. But instead, the way his brain works is, no, let us, the people who are already here, let us figure this out. And I don't know, man. Like, isn't that actually the reason Kevin Durant got ripped by the whole nation except for here when he left OKC?
Because it felt like he was taking the easy way out.
He didn't want to stay there and figure it out.
And he also said, how I answered it, nobody asked, but I'll tell you, he used the word stay relevant. So I feel like Willard, they're going to figure it out if no big trade comes, and I think he knows that. And it's imperative, this is how I took it, that they make the playoffs. And Steph Curry, not that the world's going to, but let's be honest, Adam Silver, the nightmare on Warrior Basketball Street, would be no Steph Curry for year two. So Willard, when he said we got to figure this thing out, it's we're going to go guns blazing with this team, but we got to at least get to the playoffs. And he mentioned it. And just getting a series, I think, will feel like the finals. That and all what you guys say is true, and it can come after that. But I think another year of back-to-back non-playoff thing, then I feel like it's like there's really no gas for the tank. That's how I took
Adam
that.
Adam Silver's
when he said,
got
stay
bigger
relevant.
Issues than whether or not Steph gets to play a series or not. And I was looking at the Colin Cowherd
well, we just
piece,
it.
Which
yeah.
It's funny because I actually said that about 9 months ago. So thanks, Colin, for finally getting on board with what I said was the fix for the three-pointer. But, yes, they would love to have him in the playoffs. But I was struck by Steph saying, all y'all with the Twitter fingers, just shut up a little bit. Like, shut up a little bit. Don't totally shut right. up. Just shut up a little bit because they still might be in the trade market. And
right.
I do think it's interesting because they did start 12-3, and then last night was almost a microcosm of their whole season. Unbelievably great start, and then a little bit scary, and then you get in the fourth quarter and they held on. So here they are at 20-20, and last night was kind of a 20-20 kind of a performance.
But my goal, and I'll ask you guys real quick, if they make the playoffs, I think it's a successful season. That's just, you could say, Guru, what do you do? That's how I feel.
Well,
just not the play-in, just a series, Willard. And I think Steph was kind of saying that.
Well, I'll agree with you from the perspective of I've translated what they've said the last week to be that all along, which is that it's almost like, and I don't mean this like in Sharpie, but it's the organization's job to put enough around Steph to get him to the playoffs.
No doubt.
And then it's Steph's job to do whatever he does when he gets there.
Just give him a chance.
Yes. Even if you're on the road at Denver. Like,
dude, and that's what he meant when you say figure it out.
Figure it out. Figure it out. And then,
how to get there,
and then,
Dibs?
And then he ends it with, we're incredibly confident against anyone, which sounds laughable to us.
But they beat Boston.
Well, but that's the way their brains work. You tell Steph Curry, we're going to give you a 7-game series and you're in Oklahoma City to start. He thinks he can win that. We don't, but he does because he's Steph Curry. You know what I mean? Like, he's been told no his whole life. You're too small, Davidson, you can't this, you can't that. Now he's one of the greatest things that's ever touched a basketball. So that's sort of the way, that's the way I look at it. I also think today is a day we should all point at ourselves and just laugh a little bit.
Because I did it.
It's hilarious. No matter where you fall on this spectrum, it's hilarious what one game does to us. It, like, they won a basketball game.
But Will,
game.
It's more of the and words that, coming out of
yeah,
Curry and
of
Kerr's
course,
mouth.
Of course, but it's just, to me, it's just
it.
It's a chuckle. Yeah. It's a chuckle. Like, yesterday, you were a moron if you thought this could go anywhere. And now today, you're like, huh.
Steiny, can you share with them before we get out of here your Draymond take?
No.
Why not?
It'll take too
my
long.
My Draymond
what take
do
you have
is
a party to go to
no,
or something?
Well, I do. Wow. My Draymond take that is that if, as long as Kuminga's out at least, that if Draymond, like if Draymond can play Saturday, I'd bring him off the bench.
Oh.
I'd let Guy, like there's something about Guy Santos's energy at the beginning of a game. And I think it's I'm not saying, Guy Santos, I get it. He's a 12, but when you have an older team and when you're going to start Schroeder, Steph, and Buddy Hield, then you got to have a guy in there who's kind of like at least running around like a chicken with his head cut off because, and there's something about Santos, everybody likes him. It's obvious. Like he'll make a play in the game, a save, and the bench will all react. So there's a positive energy to him, and he, like, knows, what am I responsible for when I start the game? Just to make sure we come out and play with energy. And I think he's kind of infectious. And Draymond, we all know that he has moments, but I don't really think he's a big tone setter from the start of a game anymore. And he was willing to come off the bench earlier this season, and the plans went awry because of injury, but I'd be willing to give that more of a shot.
And I also think that Gary last night, coming back after his absence, he had the same sort of energy. I know he's an older player, but one thing that we needed last night to watch as Warrior fans, and Steve even mentioned it, was more energy, more effort, more tempo, more pace. And I do think that Guy is a guy, and you're not going to play him 30 minutes a night. You're right, Steiny, but sort of that youthful exuberance to bring him in, and Draymond can come in with the second unit and be more of the point guard with that group.
It's what kept Pots on the floor all year last year.
People hate me now
when I bring him up.
I don't mind it at all. And not even just not starting, but probably fewer minutes.
Just,
if he's going to say it's harder for me to play five for lengthy minutes, great, then do it for fewer minutes. Like, it's more important for Draymond to be spry in the fourth quarter than it is in the first. And I agree with you there.
I also like the idea that if Santos is going to play like that to start a game, he's probably going to foul. And so he'll get two in the first 6 minutes, but it's not going to really matter. You don't want Draymond getting two in the first 6 minutes, though. So, yeah, it just protects Draymond a little bit from foul trouble. I don't know, I just thought.
No, and he can shoot. And the Warriors have problems right? There's too many non-shooters. Even though Draymond is shooting better this year, they have problems. There's too many non-shooters on the floor. So he can shoot. Yeah.
All right, Fitzy, 4:15.
And Beyonce at 2:30.
And Al Michaels efforting.
Floating.
On 95.7, the game.